I wonder if any of you have received good news recently. A long desired or perhaps unexpected promotion at work. A letter with news from a long lost friend. The final exchange on a property that means you will be able to call this new place home. An invitation to share in the celebration of a friend's engagement, wedding, or anniversary, or just maybe the much anticipated news that you will soon become a parent or grandparent. Good news. Good news. And yet, in the midst of a world where the media reminds us each day of betrayal, bad judgment, abuse of power, tyranny, famine, climate change, we begin to wonder if there is any hope left for our broken world. And nearer to home, of course, we know of our own personal tragedies, whether in our community or indeed in our own families. Advent is a time when we have the opportunity to pause and, on the one hand, to recognise honestly the failings of the world in which we live and the personal burdens and indeed sorrows that we carry ourselves, and yet, on the other hand, to look beyond the stark reality of those tough places to the good news that God promises. And the hope that this good news can and indeed will transform our lives as we embrace the truth that God wants to break into our world, live amongst us, and be in a personal and saving relationship with us all. So how do you respond, I wonder, to receiving good news? My guess is that not many of us want to keep such news to ourselves. Of course, we can share our excitement, our joy, our anticipation with an immediacy that just wasn't possible back in first century Palestine when a young teenage girl accepted God's call on her life. We don't even have to write a letter, pick up the phone. News can be shared with the touch of a finger, along with photos and a video to go with it. The other week, my phone pinged, and there was a photo of a scan showing very clearly the promise of my godson's second child. So this morning, as we begin Advent, let's look together again at the hope that God continues to promise as we reflect on Mary's response to the good news that God brought her. It's a recognition, I think, that this young girl's profound faith, that she could make that transition from fear and disbelief to wonder and joy in recognition of the good news. Remember that conception outside marriage would have ruined Mary's reputation and cast her out of her community. Gabriel's call on her life was a sign that the good news that Mary now carried would not only turn her life upside down, but all those who eventually encountered her unborn child. So perhaps not surprisingly, we find Mary travelling to see her cousin Elizabeth to share the exciting, albeit disturbing, news with someone who will understand. We didn't have that reading, but that meeting of those two women is poignant. One is old and one is young. Both are pregnant. The older is carrying the forerunner, John the Baptist. The younger is carrying the Messiah. For one woman, conception is a blessing, an answer to a life of prayer, marking her re-entry into society. For the other, conception carries the likelihood of exclusion from society when pregnancy had not even been sought. And yet both these women, full of God's love and inspired by the Holy Spirit, greet each other with prophetic insight and profound joy in recognition of God's blessing on both of their lives. Elizabeth, aware of her baby leaping inside, greets Mary with those beautiful words, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." Recognizing with divine inspiration the presence of God's favour and blessing resting on her young cousin Mary. Elizabeth doesn't question or doubt what God is doing here. In this moment, she embraces the good news of God's miraculous intervention in both of their lives, understanding something of the blessing that their offspring will bring. And then Mary responds. She responds with those incredible words that we have just heard the choir sing so beautifully, a poem of love, of hope, and of praise that has, of course, become known as the Magnificat and continues to be sung or read daily in churches and cathedrals across the world as the good news of Christmas is declared through this inspirational song that literally magnifies God, acknowledging his greatness and his goodness. It is a song unlike any we are forced to listen to as we enter the consumer world of Christmas. I'm not sure what I dislike most. Jingle Bell Rocks, When Santa Got Stuck Up the Chimney, all have a place, of course, and I sing them along with everyone else. But as the background noise to the promotional diversion of the supermarket giants, none of them had the transformational hope of our world, for our world. Advent is a time for us to pause with Mary and offer our praise to a God that promises to intervene in our world with good news of hope for all people. And of course, with Mary, we need to embrace the paradox of this intervention, birth alongside death, joy alongside sorrow, great truth without complete understanding. And yet in that moment, Mary raises her voice to praise God for the great blessing he has shown her, a humble and ordinary young girl from a backwater in Palestine. And this is a song of faith, sung with her heart, with her soul, and with her mind. And it speaks of the hope that God promises, the hope of restoration, the hope of revelation, and the hope of revolution. So let's look at these three hopes briefly in turn and reflect on how these truths declared by Mary continue not only to be relevant, but indeed essential for our world and our lives today. Mary, although not a scholar, was no doubt seeped in the Hebrew scriptures as the stories of old were shared over meals and in the quiet moments of a family home. She understood the stories of her ancestors and the covenantal promises given by Yahweh. She also understood the stories of how the people of Israel had repeatedly turned their back on God, rejecting him, abusing his name, and forgetting his promises. Despite this, God remained faithful, continually offering a new hope of restoration for the life of the Jewish people. The hope of restoration. This is a story that continues to be repeated in our lives today, of course. God remains faithful. God continues to promise a hope for the future. But we also turn our back on him. And we so often choose to go our own way, enticed by the false promises of the world around us. Promises that the latest product on the market will satisfy, or promises that lead us to abuse those around us in the pursuit of our own goals. And yet God continues to offer the hope of restoration. God is unchanging in his promises. Mary understood something of this, I think, and will have heard the age-old prophecies that we have listened to again this morning. And as God promised a new hope, a hope of someone who would indeed come with the promise of restoration for a broken world, a promise of a Messiah, Emmanuel, a son to be born to a virgin, the hope of restoration. And so this hope is revealed, as prophesied, to an unsuspecting, unmarried virgin in the town of Nazareth, a town from which later someone declares, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" Mary recognized salvation history breaking through into her own life. She recognized God's salvation plan from the Hebrew scriptures and his promises for restoration. And as Mary pondered all that happened, I wonder how confident she felt as she placed her whole life in God's hands. I wonder if she felt at all physically, emotionally, or indeed spiritually vulnerable. Let's be honest. Mary's whole life had been turned on its head through an encounter with an angel. Paula Gooder, in her new Advent book, The Meaning is in the Waiting, which, by the way, I thoroughly recommend. I haven't read all of it yet. It is only the first day of Advent. And she says, she talks about finding hope in her waiting. She describes the waiting during pregnancy as a time of nurture, as a profoundly creative act, active internal waiting that knits together new life. Advent, then, she suggests, calls us into a state of active waiting, a state that recognizes and embraces the glimmer of God's presence in the world. And I would suggest that it is only when we are prepared to linger in the waiting that we too will come to know the hope of revelation that Mary experienced. God continues to reveal himself to us today. And I wonder where he is already acting in your life and in the life of those around you. And I wonder if we too pause this Advent that we might come to know the hope of restoration as Jesus reveals himself to us. As one of the characters in the movie Shawshank Redemption says, "Hope is a dangerous thing. It can drive us insane." When, like Mary, God reveals himself to us in Jesus, and we place our hope in him, our lives will never be the same again. They will be upended, and there will be no return to the so-called quiet life of normality. And so finally, Mary, understanding the nature of God's hope of revelation in her life, then speaks with prophetic insight into the life of her unborn son. These are radical words, words that challenge us to look at the world differently, a world where economic worth is not important, and a world in which the poor will no longer be marginalized. Martin Luther, who we've heard from before, said that the Magnificat comforts the lowly and terrifies the rich. And elsewhere, Mary's words have been described as fostering revolutionaries in our churches. The church needs the leaven of discontent, and the Magnificat makes the church restive against poverty and wretchedness. I wonder how much Mary understood about the cultural upheaval that her unborn son would demand of the world. I do think, however, that Mary understood something of the unexpected but revolutionary hope that Jesus would bring to her people. A hope that would challenge the legal religiosity of the day. A hope that would demand justice for the inequalities of wealth and status. And a hope that would promise a new understanding of God's love for all people and all generations. William Temple, the Archbishop of Canterbury at the beginning of the 20th century, describing the Magnificat as a most revolutionary canticle, warned his missionaries in India to never read it in public. Christians were already suspect in that country, and they were cautioned against reading verses so inflammatory. This is Jesus of Nazareth, the hope of revolution. The Messiah who entered our world as a baby in a cowshed, who loved the world so much that he was prepared to sacrifice himself on a cross. us, so that we too would know the hope of restoration and reconciliation with God, his Father. And as with any revolution, we can never go back to how it was before. Think about the Industrial Revolution of the last century, or more currently, the Information Technology Revolution. After Apple and Google and the explosion of AI, our world will never look the same again. The revolution of love that Mary sung about as she felt her unborn child move in her womb as she praised God was the beginning of a new hope that the world would be changed forever. A revolutionary hope that continues to challenge our perspective on the world around us. A revolutionary hope that calls us to join in with God's mission for our own communities and our world. And a revolutionary hope that promises each of us life in all its fullness here on earth. And of course in eternity. Life after death. And so as we journey together over these next few weeks of Advent, can I suggest that each of us finds time to pause amidst the seasonal demands of Christmas and the songs that bring no more than momentary pleasure. Time to reflect on the hope that the birth of Jesus brings to a broken, disturbed, and fearful world. And as we pause, maybe reading again the words of Mary from Luke chapter 1 as she lifted her voice in praise. Maybe listening to one of the many diverse recordings of the Magnificat. Maybe reflecting on the Advent reflections on the Highfield Facebook page. Or indeed reading Paula Gooder's The Meaning in the Waiting. We too will begin to understand something more of God's promise, which brings a hope of restoration, a hope of revelation, and a hope of revolution, God's revolution of love that promises to change our world. Amen.